No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the trainer,
take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me. And along with this time, Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. You know, fresh from the AOPA fly-in in St. Simons, Georgia. And then before that, we had an election. We've had a lot of stuff going on. Keith has not been with us, but he is with me today. And now Ed is taking a break. But just to clear the air, because we really want no turbulence on today's virtual flight. Keith, the reason you have not been with us the last couple of weeks is because you've been out celebrating since the election. Is that right?
You're absolutely right. And we have a lot to celebrate.
We have a lot to. It took now, 2 weeks of celebration to get it all in for Captain Keith. So, yeah.
Well, yes, it does. And now that I've calmed down a little bit,
yeah. You know,
I got to put it in their lap. They've got to get some things done or it'll be all for naught.
Well, this is true.
They got to dig in. They got to dig in and start getting to work now.
All right. So the drunk is worn off, and you're ready to get to work with those guys, is what you're saying, right?
Yes. They got to start changing Obamacare.
Okay. Well, that's where you're thinking
it'll start. I'll be happy to help them. I'll be happy to help them do it.
And what will you do exactly for them? Well, how will you help them?
Well, none of it works. So you got to start at the very beginning. You know, I mean, you got to get rid of the fact that it's a tax. Even the Supreme Court says that it was a tax.
Yeah.
And they lied to us and told us it wasn't a tax.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying, okay, you say it's a tax. Okay, it's a tax. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
So you got to get it back to where it's not. And you got to get where it actually is affordable for people. I'm not against the health care.
Yeah.
I'm just against the fact that it's really not affordable for everybody.
Okay, fair enough.
Get it back to where it needs to be taken care of.
Okay. Well, once again, welcome to Just Plain Politics. I am Greg, your co-conspirator, and
hey, you started it. You started it. Because you know you had to get me going.
Well, you know, it'd been two weeks, and you hadn't had a chance to vent on the show, and I knew you were like, you know, there was like a vein at the top of his forehead that's been like pulsating, like it's ready to explode on Captain Keith. So I had to give you at least a few minutes or a couple minutes to let it all out. Okay?
Okay.
And
I'm done.
So
I'm
breathe
done.
In through the nose, out through the mouth. There we go. And he's a happy camper right now. He liked the way it went. I guess time will tell to see how this all pans out for everyone. But like you said, it's in the Republicans' lap now. They got in there. We put them in there, and let's see what they can do with it. And hopefully that'll be good for everyone, including the aviation industry and us pilots. You know, that's really the angle that we ought to focus on, since we are a show about flying and the industry and that kind of thing. Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And you know, this is a big portion of some of these guys, and a lot of the senators that are for aviation are reelected. So that's a positive thing as well.
Well, the Aviation Caucus is the biggest it's ever been. And they're saying they're going to have, you know, we lost some that were Democrats that got voted out. But the new folks coming in, they've already made some, invitations out to them. And they think it's going to be pretty positive for aviation in general as far as the Aviation Caucus. So we'll see. You know, last week on the show, we actually had the opportunity to speak to Mark Baker himself from AOPA. And you know, he didn't really go into so much about the election as much as he was talking about the third class medical and the FAA funding and that kind of thing. And maybe now that the election's over, the FAA will have a little bit more, I don't know if incentive is the right word, but he feels like now that that's out of the way, they'll actually be able to get some stuff done. Are you seeing that, or have you read anything to that effect as well, or what do you think?
No, but I have heard some senators say the number one thing they need to do is get rid of sequestration, and that is true. They've got to do that, and they've got to get some funding for the FAA. Although funding for the FAA is kind of like funding our highway system that's, you know, completely broke. Mm-hmm. They're constantly doing repairs, but it's always broke. And, you know, the FAA, we got so many people that sit around doing nothing because it's a government job and they say they're overworked and underpaid, like a lot of folks. You know, if they would just do their job, I think we could get a lot more accomplished.
Okay. So just do your job is what Keith is saying, or Captain Keith. So, you know, maybe you should be president. Maybe that's how we really get this thing fixed once and for all, you think?
Well, you know, I would like to say that, yeah, that's what would happen. But you know what? There's going to be a lot of people out there who don't like me for some of the things that I think. But, you know,
that's all right. Everyone has an opinion and other things.
They do.
Right. But
they do.
But that's fine. You know, I don't really know. I you know, we went to that NBAA show, and we were there 2 years ago, and I was really taken aback about the political slant that I saw presented in, like, presentations. You know, this was right before the presidential election, and man, they were very upset at President Obama coming down on corporate air travel, and kind of, you know, they felt they were unfairly targeted, and all of a sudden the aviation industry or corporate business travel was under attack by the media because of this, all these comments that he made, and like, hey, you don't need to fly these corporate jets around, you need to focus on your people. And that's a hard argument to fight against. On the surface, when someone makes that comment, well, yeah, why are you flying around in jets when the company is in the toilet? You know, I mean, but when you dig into the numbers, you realize it's not quite that simple. And actually having that corporate travel leads to more business. And that's, you know, you can actually look at the numbers and see how they can justify, using these business jets and how it filters down as far as all the jobs that are created when they do take those trips. And things. And well, you know, on top of everything else, you know, the president's flying around in Air Force One, and no one's pointing any finger at him for operating the most expensive corporate jet in the world. So I didn't.
Well, not only is it the most expensive corporate jet in the world, but it shuts down aviation anywhere he goes.
Yes. Well,
you know,
true.
We have to shut down operations every time he comes into town, and that happens anywhere he goes. But, you know, keep in mind that a lot of these corporations, since we live in a global world today, everything is global. Mm-hmm. Businesses are global. They're no longer just mom-and-pop operations, you know, right here. Even the mom-and-pop stores, a lot of them are shipping stuff all over the world.
Right.
Well, you get a lot of these bigger corporations, you get their regional managers. They can hit a couple of different states in one day. They can get so much more accomplished by having that corporate airplane. Now, a corporate airplane can actually hurt a company just as fast as it could help a company if you don't do it right.
Sure.
And so that, you know, as long as the company is doing it right and using it as a tool, it's a fantastic tool, and every single small town that has an airport can benefit from having that airport if it's put to use properly by the local. It creates jobs, businesses grow up around it. It's a great tool.
Yeah. And you know, regardless how you feel about it, the argument was, you don't need these corporate jets. These are, you know, fat cats spending too much money when they should be doing other things and hurting like everybody else. And, you know, it was a cheap shot. That's how it was taken. And they made their voice heard a couple of years ago at the NBAA show in Orlando. And so when I went back to this year, Keith, I expected to see more of the same. And you know what? I didn't. It was right before the election. And if anything, I saw almost the opposite. Now, I still believe there's a conservative base amongst the, you know, corporate business traveling folks in the industry. I think that's just, I don't know. As James Carville put it, he felt like a fire hydrant at a dog convention. So, you know, I mean, it was pretty. I mean, it's not any secret that they lean conservative. However, they were much more diplomatic on their political stance as far as you know, whether it's Democrat or Republicans, look, we have our aviation caucus. We want all people to know what aviation does for the country as far as creating jobs and helping the economy in that regard. And everyone, whether you're Republican or Democrat, benefits from this, and you need to be aware of what this industry does for you, and that crosses all political lines. And they took a much more, you know, diplomatic approach this year with that. I was kind of surprised. I didn't see the fireworks I expected. And then, lo and behold, it went the way that I think they would have liked it to go 2 years ago. So it's anybody's guess whether or not that was deliberate or just a sign of the times. Time will tell, and we'll see where it goes. All right, we got more coming up on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night.
Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a hotspot for world-class anglers and Hollywood stars for over 50 years. They fly into Freeport or take advantage of the 4,000-foot private runway. So in as little as 20 minutes from Florida, you too could be experiencing world-class fishing, diving, paddleboarding, whatever your adventurous heart desires, Deepwater Cay delivers. So treat yourself like the star that you are at Deepwater Cay's private island resort in the Bahamas. Go to deepwatercay.com. That's deepwatercay.com.
You are now cleared for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
This test today, it's important.
I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry, okay? Now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
I'm learning to fly around the clouds. But what goes up must come down.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. All right, so Keith, you know, I'm sure we're going to be talking a little political stuff, because it's been two full weeks and you have to get it all out of your system. But I'll try to divert accordingly so we don't turn everybody off today.
You know, well, you know, just so everybody knows that I'm not totally against the Democrats. You know, I mean, Senator Bill Nelson, you know, he's right there by the Orlando Executive Airport. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he's for aviation, and I like a lot of the things that he stands for. So,
okay.
Yes, I am a conservative kind of guy, but, you know, I'm not totally against the Democrats, because if you look at the Republican Party these days, they're really pretty liberal as well.
Okay. All right. Fair enough, I guess. But Democrats are people, too, is what you're saying.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
They just don't. Most of them just don't think very well.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, send your emails to keith@justplainradio.com. All right. So, you know, one of the things you brought up was the president's TFRs. And there was something just on AOPA Live that Tom Haines and the crew over there were talking about on their show last week. That, you know, now that they got the new Congress in, and one of the new efforts beyond the third class medical that might be being thrown up the flagpole or see if they can get something done about this is TFRs. I mean, not just the president, when he comes in, he disrupts all the airspace. But I guess what brought this to the forefront is the controversy with the TFR that was established over Ferguson, Missouri, right?
Yes.
And it was because of the riots and all that stuff. The police said, called up the FAA and said, "Hey, we don't want people flying over here, especially the media helicopters." That's what they think was the focus of this. And it's like, look, you know, because the police department doesn't want the media involved, should they be able to, you know, call the FAA and say, "Hey, lock down our airspace," and which creates all kinds of problems for private pilots in the area. It ended up in this case they had to change it because it created a problem for a flight path in the area, I believe, if I remember correctly. So they adjusted it from, they first wanted it from up to like 15,000 feet, and then they, I think they cut it off at like 3,000 or something like that. But just the fact that they're kind of making putting these TFRs out there, and no one's really being held responsible for the consequences of setting these things up, is a problem, obviously, for the aviation industry. I mean, you know, not to mention that it's obviously a huge inconvenience if you've planned a flight and then all of a sudden a TFR pops up, but all the businesses that are affected. It's the thing that the general public doesn't really see. I mean, I know you guys have been shut down several times when the president flies into town, and that's going to happen whether it's Democratic or Republican, and you know, that kind of thing. And you could gripe until you're, you know, blue in the face, I guess. But I've questioned whether or not that's even taken into consideration, and maybe it needs to be a little bit more, because I would guess the president, let alone, you know, the police department's not really thinking about the big ramifications to the aviation industry or flight schools or businesses that are affected. They're just thinking like, hey, we need to shut down the airspace. We don't need this bad publicity or something. You know what I mean? What do you think?
Well, I think that you're absolutely right. I don't think they really take into consideration the ramifications of shutting down airspace around an airport for extended periods of time. That's where a lot of us make our money. And so, you know, they're complaining about the economy. They want the economy to grow, but yet they shut down businesses like ours and many others at the airport. And I'm not just talking about myself here. And so that is a big deal, and I don't really know if they really take that into consideration.
Yeah.
As far as the Ferguson thing goes, initially when that broke out, there was rumor that there were gunshots fired at helicopters.
Now, yes.
Whether they were police helicopters or news helicopters, nobody really seems to know. But the story really is the police didn't – they wanted to be able to move anywhere they wanted to there with their helicopters and didn't have to worry about any news copters,
right,
you know, being in their way.
Because
obviously it becomes a mid-air collision if you get too close, obviously.
Sure.
And typically what news copters do is all the guys get on the same frequency and they're all talking to each other. You know, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm at. I can do this. I can do this. Whatever. But, it did block the arrival area to Lambert International Airport.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to change some of their procedures as they came in because Ferguson is right on the edge of the airport. So that temporary flight restriction, you know, hit the approach end of runway 30 right in St. Louis Lambert Airport.
Yeah, and if people aren't aware of the change, it kind of throws all systems off and approaches and everything, right?
Well, it does, but you know, it can. You know, we've got some pretty great air traffic controllers, and they work with stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just take September 11th. I mean, a fantastic display of how they, you know, shut the airspace system down completely within 4 hours. They got every airplane out of the sky.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's their job to move and kind of ebb and flow with the needs of aviation. And so, yeah, they made it work, but do they really have to be impeded because the police officers don't want news helicopters flying near them.
Well, exactly. And I think the point the guy was making on AOPA Live was someone needs to be held accountable for these decisions. You know, these are being these requests are being made to the FAA and someone saying, OK, whatever, it was the police or yeah, we'll do it. Or, you know, no one's being held accountable for these decisions, whether it's someone in the FAA giving it the green light or, you know, what is the procedure to request for a TFR? And a flight restriction kind of thing. I mean, when we were flying back from the fly-in from St. Simons, Georgia, back to Orlando Executive, there was a TFR off of, I don't know, somewhere off, you know, east side of Orlando where they were doing bottle rockets or, you know, like hobby rocket launches.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, I mean, and I understand why they would want to do that, but that was seemed kind of a strange, you know, thing to set up a TFR. To me, I'd never heard of that, but I guess it makes sense. You don't want rockets coming up and hitting a plane. But who makes that decision on, okay, we're going to do it here, or does the organizers of this event say, we want to do this, and then they petition the FAA? I mean, what? How does that work? And who would be held accountable in something like that?
Again, you know, you're still trying to push my buttons here that, you know, there's not a whole lot of accountability in our government.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the FAA who's responsible? Yes. But there's no accountability within the FAA. You know, they have bosses and supervisors, but they don't necessarily have to follow absolutely everything that they say. Now, they put these things up for rockets because they can go up several hundred feet, and people will think that they're shooting at airplanes if they don't. That's why they're putting those up now.
Okay, and that was maybe a bad example. I guess we don't really want.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio, Gregor, co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith this week. He's been off for a couple weeks, you know, just basking in the glory of the Republicans taking over the Congress. It's just his thing, you know. I don't know. What'd you do? Go to, like, Cancun, and it was like spring break or something for you, or what?
You know, you just keep trying, don't you? Just keep pushing, keep pushing. Keep
I can
pushing.
Do this because Keith is not in the studio with us. He is actually in St. Louis, connected via the web, and even though it sounds like he's here right with us, he's not. So he can be near me without, or he can hear me without having to be near me, which means you can't hit me. So I can push those buttons and not worry about any ramifications. I won't be held responsible, just like someone setting up a TFR. Okay, anyway, I digress. Let's talk about this AOPA fly-in, because you missed that too, and that was a big deal, Keith.
It was a big deal, and I'm really sorry I missed it.
Yeah, you know, we went out there.
But you know what?
What?
You got to, sometimes you have to put things into priority. And the reason I missed that was because it was my granddaughter's first birthday.
Ah, okay. All right. So you have a pretty good excuse. I'll
that only happens
on that.
Once in a lifetime, you know?
True.
You got to, you know.
But, you know, you could have went in a plane and just flown back and forth real quick. You could have just got a really fast plane or one of them little personal jets. You got connections. You got friends that could have done that.
You know, I could have.
Yeah.
I could have.
Yeah. But then you would have to hang with me and Ed.
Well, that's not so bad. But, you know, between you and Ed and the granddaughter, yeah, I'll take Reese.
We lose. Okay, fair enough. Well, it was a cool event. It was the last fly-in they had for this year. And, you know, as I said earlier, we did speak to Mark Baker, the president of AOPA, and he was nice enough to talk to us on the air. You can listen back to last week's show and hear what he had to say. It was quite enlightening. And my question to him was, you know, this was a new thing for them to do these AOPA fly-ins, and is this the future, or was this an experiment for a year that is going to go away? His feeling was they've already made plans for next year, and it's full steam ahead. There's going to be more. And I'll tell you, from what I saw, and we'll talk more about it next, I can see why they would want to repeat this, because this was a cool, cool event.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
How soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean I'm just not sure.
Or can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on and fly with me. Let's fly away. They say, come fly with me. Let's fly away.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. You want to learn how to fly and have Captain Keith as your flight instructor? All you have to do is go to ftpros.com. And himself or Ed, Captain Ed, might be your flight instructors and take you up there into the wild blue yonder. Now, last week, we flew up to St. Simons, Georgia from our home base of operations, Orlando Executive Airport. And I was not a co-pilot or the pilot in command. However, I was, according to Captain Ed, Keith, I was parasitic drag, which technically means that I'm a super awesome dude and I'm a great passenger, doesn't it?
Well, you can keep saying, you can keep telling yourself that. You know, if you tell yourself that long enough and often enough, you will believe that.
Parasitic drag kind of feels like a scab, you know, that has not healed well and just isn't ready to pop off. That's that nasty. I don't know. Anyway, I don't think I was that bad. You know, and as we prepared for this trip, I told Ed, I said, look, you know, I'll be in the back seat. I'll be listening in. We'll do some recording. We did some filming. Hopefully we'll get the video and stuff up on justplaneradio.com soon. However, you know, I was back there and I told him, I said, look, if the plane, if you guys have a problem up front, the good news is I know just enough to pull you out of the seat and jump in there, and I have no doubt that I can get the plane down. If I can get it down without crashing it or whatever, but I have no doubt I could get the plane down. And I said, that's better than a lot of people, isn't it? And he said, okay, yeah. So I thought that would take me out of the parasitic drag category, but I don't know. Would it or would it not?
Well, my first question is, how are you going to get Ed out of the seat?
Well, that was his question too, and I said, I'm just going to take in like a, you know, like a stranglehold type thing and just, you know, pull out some of my background in Taekwondo.
Pull your back out, you said?
Well, I'm sure I'll do that too, but but I'll channel some of that Taekwondo stuff. I'm a black belt, by the way. I'm a deputy black belt, which is like the Barney Fife of black belts, but it's still a black belt. And I could use that skill from days gone by and yank him out of the pilot's chair and jump up there and land a plane. You don't? You think I could do it?
I think you could do it.
I told him, though, I said, "You, before we get in, when we do the pre-flight check, show me how to recline the chair so I can do that." And, of course, he never did. He didn't show me. I mean,
well,
you know,
you got to remember, Ed has a control issue.
Well, true. Exactly. Yeah, you are right about that. He's not keen on that kind of stuff about letting go of the reins. But, you know, he was doing a little training with Captain Dave that was running through a checkout on his ILS approaches. He was wearing foggles on the way up. So instrument rating. He was working on his instrument rating, I guess. Does that sound right? Or just a checkout or something?
Just a checkout, yeah.
Okay. All right. And he did good. He did good. But I think it was because I was there in the backseat, you know, kind of coaching him. Backseat driving, backseat flying. Is there such a thing? Hey, dude, you ought to do this.
There definitely is that, yeah.
Hey, Dave, Ed loves it when you take your right index finger and poke him in the left side of the belly.
And you know this how?
Well, long story for off the air. But, you know, Ed didn't find that as humorous as I did. He said, shut up! Sit in the back and be quiet! You know, so, yeah, he is maybe...
He usually tells me that kind of stuff, too, when I'm flying along with him.
Sit down! Shut up! Yeah. But it was a good time regardless. But, yeah, he could be a slight control freak in that regard. But, you know, he's just... I don't know, he's disciplined. He likes it in a certain way because that helps the pilot in training learn that more efficiently and learn the right way the first time, right?
And consistency.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what Ed is really all about is consistency.
Right. Now, you know, when we flew
consistently
into...
right, Ed's way.
We flew into St. Simons, and he did get a little anxious. And he was really, I don't know, Dave seemed fairly relaxed, but Ed was definitely on edge. And I don't know, I was talking to my wife about this too, Keith, because when we flew into Sun and Fun a couple years ago, you know, I knew it was going to be a lot of planes. Ed was like, hey, we got to look through this procedure thing and really know how to... I was shocked how organized it seemed when we got out there, and you weren't allowed to talk on the radio. It was all visual. They barked out the orders, said, Cessna 172 coming in from the south, please flap your wings. You know, you flap them, and they had a whole little system, but even...
I think they say rock your wings. They don't say flap your wings.
Well, flap your wings if you want to, you know, if you're a flapper. You know, I mean, it really depends on what part of the country you're in, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. If your airplane's flapping its wings, you might be doing something else.
Well, okay, good point. All right, so let's say we'll stick to rocking their wings. That's probably the better way to do it. But they had this system down, and I was surprised how well organized it seemed, even though there were a lot of planes in the area, and I can understand why that would make anyone nervous. Including Ed, but I felt probably less nervous than he did. Maybe it was just because I'm oblivious to the potential problems that this creates, and I think that's what it is. Because even when we flew up to St. Simons and we got up there, they had changed the route to the approach of the airport. It was a little different than what was up on the AOPA website for the fly-in, and I'm not sure why they had changed it around a little bit from what they had written down, but, you know, it could have been weather or just, you know, traffic patterns or whatever. And when we got up there and Ed realized it wasn't going how they had said on the website, that was the first thing that kind of set him off a little bit, like, okay, get ready. All hell's going to break loose, you know, and Ed, you know, he's telling me to look out the back and look out the sides, keep, you know, some extra eyes out for other planes. And there were like two or three other planes that, you know, were in the vicinity that we had to keep an eye on, but nothing that seemed too outrageous. Is like they just said, okay, look for the white water tower when you approach the runway and tell us radio in that you're coming over the water tower and coming into the runway, into the pattern. And so we know you're there, and if you're before that, find a plane and follow them in. And it was like, okay, that seems fairly good. I guess the only potential problem with that is if you get a bottleneck and you have too many planes close together, and one plane says, well, I'm gonna out, you know, fly this guy and cut, you know, right. Like cut the queue. And that's where it would probably become a problem, I guess. Is that right? Where you just get somebody who wants to get in there faster and kind of piss off the other guy, or I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it's a combination of things, and I'll admit, that's when I get the most nervous flying.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can fly into O'Hare, I can fly into Kennedy, all those airports, and it doesn't bother me in the least bit.
Yeah, right.
But when I, like Sun and Fun, when you have
a bunch of other airplanes. Facts that
everybody is not as disciplined as Ed.
Right.
And
true.
If we all were, we could all be relaxed. But unfortunately, there's not. And some of it is due to the fact out and flies all the time. And, you know, they don't have, you know, life gets in the way. They don't have the time to do it all, you know.
They're not as proficient.
Know, sequential basis. Exactly. So they're not proficient. And so they get into a situation like this, they're a little bit behind the airplane.
Yep.
And now they have to look for traffic.
Right.
And the procedure's changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just kind of, okay, they're just going to.
They're just going to blow it.
Pardon the pun. And so, yeah, it can get pretty nerve-wracking for somebody who's, you know, really likes it procedure-wise. Follow the procedure.
Yeah. Improvisation is not the thing you want to deal with in a situation like that. But other than that bottleneck, as long as people aren't trying to speed up, I don't know. To me, it seemed a little common sense type of stuff. Like, okay.
It is, but do you know people that don't have common sense?
I know a couple that I do a radio show with.
Okay. And so do those people fly airplanes?
No, that was the other show that I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know. Hey, they're
good
my flight
instructor. Good save.
Thank you. You're my flight instructor, so I have to be careful what I say to them because they pay back. Well, you know what it is. All right, more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night.
Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
When it comes to product development, Lightspeed Aviation operates with a simple strategy. Know your customer well and remain committed to the relentless product evolution that expands performance to the edge of technological possibilities. This approach has made Lightspeed the innovation leader and, along with their reputation for remarkable customer support, earned them tremendous respect and brand loyalty. See what's possible when a legacy of innovation and commitment to supporting a pilot's passion meet at lightspeedaviation.com.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Now go! Fly! Be free!
Time for me to fly! Oh, I got to set myself free.
Time for me to fly!
That's just how it's got to be. I know it hurts to say goodbye, but it's time for me to fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. All right, so we're at the AOPA fly-in in St. Simons, Georgia last week, and I was really impressed with how well it was run. The attendance was great. I mean, there had to be, well, I don't know how many planes, but I'm guessing 100, 200, maybe more. Who knows? It was a lot of planes. It was a mini air show is what it looked like to me, But it was small enough where you could get around and see this thing in a couple hours and take your time, really have the opportunity to talk to some of the pilots. Patty Wagstaff was there. We had a nice little meeting with her, and she shared some stories about her new flight school that she's been running out of St. Augustine, Florida, and that was pretty cool. But just the airplanes on display. So there were some classic planes out there, and just the stories you would happen to – you know, pick up if you were just walking around was fascinating. Really was cool stuff. You missed a really good one there, Keith.
Well, I know I did, but talk about some of the people that you met there. You're leading up into Veterans Week.
Great place
to meet veterans in that part of the country.
Yeah.
Were there any veterans there?
Oh, yeah. There was definitely a lot of
veterans. Veterans did a huge, huge job promoting aviation through the wars and so forth, and some of the first airliners that were flown. So those are always great stories. We've had some of those encounters on our own, you know, together when we've been at Sun and Fun and other places.
Yeah, we even at the Orlando Executive Airport there when they had the Ford Tri-Motor, and some of the guys came out to do those flights in that airplane, and he's like, oh, yeah, I used to fly this thing. And we listened in on these stories. And same thing happened at the AOPA fly-in in St. Simons, Georgia. I'm standing next to this airplane that looked brand spanking new, but it was a newer model of the plane that Amelia Earhart flew, and it was had been totally redone, super shiny, really, really cool plane. I don't know what the model number is, maybe you do or whatever, but it looked like Amelia Earhart's plane. And actually Mark Baker said, he goes, that's not the exact one, but it's like a newer model of the one she flew. But there was this young guy that was standing by the airplane, you know, probably the guy who was managing the plane or showcasing it or whatever. And he was talking to some guys, and I was just a fly on the wall and hanging around. I'm hearing him tell a story that he flies in Alaska and flies another plane on skis, and he does all this adventurous stuff and goes to these remote areas in Alaska and brings people back and forth from a resort. And I was like, wow, that sounds cool. And then this older gentleman walks up, and he starts asking him about the airplane, and I'm listening and trying to pick up what I can as far as, obviously this guy was pretty familiar with this plane. He goes, how did you do this? This looks really good, how you guys, refurbished this particular part or this engine or the body shape. And he said this particular plane was the only one of its kind that had not bellied. Because I guess the design of that particular plane, landing gear is known for collapsing because you can't really see it or something, he's saying, when you land it. And so, like most of these airplanes, or all of them, except this one, had bellied at some one point or another because the landing gear would not lock. Or they didn't know it was locked, so when they'd land, it would collapse and scrape the belly of the plane. This was the only one, evidently, still in existence that has not bellied. And he's talking about the story. He goes, yeah, those are problems with these things. And it was obvious the guy had flown these back in the day. And it was this was his airplane. And he was just fascinated that he was seeing the plane that he had worked in all those years ago. And then here it was on display at the AOPA fly-in. And it was really neat to just witness those kind of encounters, because you see these guys light up, and the stories are just endless. Just that alone is worth going to one of these fly-ins, whether you fly in yourself or not. Now, I will tell you, flying in like we did with Captain Dave and Ed running the plane and me sitting in the back and doing a little filming and stuff, that was so cool. That is one of the neatest experiences I think any man can do, or any person, I should say, can do on the planet. That is just so awesome of a thing, to fly into an airport like that, land your plane, pull up into this spot, get out of the plane, go walk around and look at some planes and talk shop, get some pancakes. And I will say something about AOPA. They know how to run an event, but I don't really understand they're thinking on the pancake breakfast, because you go there and you pay $5. We paid $5 for our breakfast, but we get lunch free, which like was barbecue from some local barbecue place, which was friggin' awesome. And I'm like, wait a minute, we got free barbecue for lunch, but we had to pay $5 for pancakes?
Well, what would you rather do?
I'd
pay for lunch?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. No, the pancakes were good, too. Don't get me wrong. I don't know. I'm not sure I quite understood how that was worked out. But, I mean, AOPA.
Well, maybe lunch was donated.
Well, it was, I guess. AOPA members got lunch free, I think, or something. I don't know how it works. But It was great. It was tasty. I just thought it was strange because I was like, man, that barbecue was worth a good $15 plate right there. And those pancakes, I'm not so sure they were up to the $5 range, but they were good. maybe they made such a great profit on the pancakes, then they could apply that to pay for the free lunch. You think maybe that's what how it works?
Well, I doubt that's the way it works, but,
Well, I don't know. It beat a $100 hamburger, I'll tell you that much. I'd rather go for the barbecue and the pancakes. So we ate very well. You missed a huge and just an awesome event, Keith. But the good news is they're going to do it again next year. So you'll make a point to make sure you join me for one of those next time, right?
I will do so. And, yeah, absolutely.
And you'll let me be parasitic drag?
I will.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take whatever I can get as long as I can go. And on that note, we'll leave it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.